Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of God here today? Yeah, I stood up here and I started to praise and worship, and I had just taken a drink of water down there at my seat, and a little bit of that residual just got vacuumed right into my lungs. Praise God. And so that's why I just motioned to Reverend Tony. You know, if for some reason the pastor goes quiet, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go quiet, right? Amen. Are you ready for the word of God here today? Amen. I tell you what, if we're not excited for the word, then what can we be excited for? It matters how we come to the table, right? When we're seated at the Lord's table, we got to make sure that we come eager and ready and hungry to receive. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And today we're going to talk about Holy Communion. And we know that it's a sacred time when we receive communion together as a church. And of course, I will give you instructions on that when the time comes here in just a little bit. But we want to look at the significance of communion. Folks, we have to remember the Lord did not institute Holy Communion as a religious ritual. That within itself, if you just take communion all by itself, you could practice that ritual 1,000 times, but that does not necessarily mean it's going to change your life or do anything different. We got to have our heart attached. We've got to be doers of the word, and we have to know and understand what it's about. You know, it's about the local church. Ultimately, it's about what the Lord did to create and to institute a gathering of those that worship in his name. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 17, and we're going to read down to begin with through verse 22, and then we're going to go a little bit further. Folks, I want you to see the significance of communion. If you're here today and you're wondering if you can take communion, maybe this is your first time here, or maybe you're not an official member, here at Family Church. Well, the only criteria to receive communion is that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Amen. We don't do a formal membership here at Family Church. There was a time when we did, and I started to realize, formal membership, there was people that would sign up and we'd have membership Sunday, and so many people would fill the altar and they would receive the right hand of fellowship and join Family Church, and it was inevitable. Every time we did that, there was several people that stood in front of the church that was the last time that we ever saw them ever again. And it started to dawn on me, being part of a church family has nothing to do with signing on the dotted line. Being part of a church family is your heart. Amen. It is your connection, how you decide to serve that local congregation, and you decide to put somebody above yourself. Amen. And so we saw that. And so if you're here today, if you're a born-again Christian, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, meaning you are personally serving him and you've received him as your Lord, then yes, you can receive communion. We are not going to deny that to you based on what churches you've been to or where you've signed on a piece of paper or something like that. But let's get into the significance. And maybe when we back up in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and we start to see what communion is ultimately about, it'll start to make more sense to us. And we're going to, of course, the Bible says before we take communion, we are to examine our own hearts and to see if our heart is in the right place. And the scripture does warn, if you know your heart is not in the right place, you should not receive it. But that is not up to me. That is not up to this church or anything like that. That's going to be up to you. And now let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Paul the apostle writing to the church at Corinth. What we're going to do is usually I read the entire passage and then come back. But we're going to start in verse 17, and I'm going to teach as I go, all right? And so we will just go verse by verse. Paul says this. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." Or if you have a more modern translation, he says, "I commend you not." Meaning what I'm about to tell you, I don't commend you for this thing. Wow. So you know that Paul's about to correct them for something in the church. He says, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Wow. And he's talking about when they came together for church, when they came together for communion. He said, actually, your gatherings in the name of Jesus are actually not benefiting you or anybody. It's actually making something worse. Folks, this is what we have to know and understand about being Christians and understanding the significance and the importance of the local church. If we handle it right, it'll make our lives better. If we mishandle the local church, it can actually make our lives worse. It can make our lives worse. Folks, I've been pastoring. I'm in my 18th year of pastoring, and I've actually seen this before. I've seen it so many times. Actually, I think most of us could probably testify. Is there anybody that would say that since you got connected to the local church, your life has gotten better? I mean, absolutely, 100%. We could testify to that. I've seen over these years that people would come in, not because it's family church, not because I'm the one doing the ministry, but because they get connected to the Word of God, they start doing the Word, they start faithfully serving God, and their life starts to get better. I've seen people that have come into this church, and when they came through the doors, their marriage was in shambles. You know, their kids were going the wrong direction. I've seen people where their marriage was hanging on a thread and they got taught the Word of God, they made the appropriate changes and God restored their marriage. And then they went on to have kids and got blessed. I've seen people, you know, come in where their lives are falling apart. They have no provision. You know, they're not, you know, getting along well in this life. They're not making it financially or whatever. And they start putting the Word of God to practice and their life starts to get promoted and they start to get better. I've seen God work miracles in the bodies of people that had, you know, things in their body that the doctors say would never heal them, that God healed them. I've seen people that were told that they were never, you know, going to have children, you know, medically speaking, and then, you know, God bless them with several children. I've seen this, you know, over and over, and then their life gets better and it gets better and it gets better, and they get so used to this new good life, they actually at times start to forget to honor the Lord with all the good things that he's done. Remember how the Lord, you know, remember how he warned Israel of doing that same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Remember, he said, when you serve the Lord your God, he said, you're going to move into better houses. You're going to move into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. He said, you're going to, you know, find resources in this land. Your life is going to get blessed. He said, but just remember not to forget the Lord your God. Don't forget how the Lord blessed you. Don't forget where it came from, right? Amen. And so I've seen, you know, people that their lives have gotten so radically better, not because family church made their life better, not because I made their life better, but they just happened to walk into a faithful church where the Word of God is taught and they got a hold of it. You know, but we have to remember that, you know, we can either grow under the house of the Lord. We can flourish in the courts of our God. But if we mishandle the local church, it will not just, it won't leave your life alone. It will actually hurt your life. Meaning if you do damage upon the Lord's body, if you do damage to the Lord's house, meaning if you start to go around and get divided with people and get offended with people, if you start, you know, criticizing others and I don't like them and making the church clicky and divisive, the Lord is not okay with that. And we're going to see here at the end of this passage exactly how it can make your life worse. It can make your life worse. We need to be honorable in the house of God. We need to be grateful and praise him. Amen. Glory to God. And so, folks, I encourage you, get into a local church. I'd love to have you in this one. Get into a place that teaches the uncompromised word and serve others there. Find a place, because what happens when we're here with the right heart, God is distributing his grace upon this congregation right here, right now. his help, his power. He's going to deliver warnings or divine direction and correction and whatever it is. But I'm telling you, if we're offended or divided, or if we have a divisive spirit, you're not going to receive that. And then you're going to go without your help, and it can actually turn things worse in your life. I don't know about you. I've just decided to bring my best. I want to help make my church better. I want to help your life be better. I want to be a gracious to the thing, you know, for the things of God. I want to be gracious to my leadership. I want to be gracious to my church family. Amen. Praise the Lord, because things might as well get better. If they're going to get better or worse, we might as well make them better. Verse 18, he says, for first of all, he said, this is why they're not getting better, but worse. He says, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. All right. And so what will make things worse in the local church, or worse for our lives personally, if we're the ones perpetrating these things, if we have a divisive spirit, you know, if we're offended with somebody, you know, if we're never happy, if there's somebody in this church that you refuse to talk to, if there's somebody in this church that you've got a vendetta or you've got some kind of angst or animosity towards them, I'm telling you, that's going to eat you up. It's going to hurt your life. You know, this, you know, the house of God is filled with people that have received the ultimate act of mercy and grace. Is anyone here grateful for the mercy of God? I tell you what, then how much more should we practice that mercy upon one another? Folks, you spend time here long enough, I'm going to tick you off. You know what I mean? You spend time long enough in any church, the pastor will make you mad at some point, whether justified or unjustified. You're going to see somebody doing something that they shouldn't. You're going to see somebody's kid that you don't like, or you're going to see somebody's life or whatever. Someone's going to have more than you. Someone's going to have the very thing that you've always dreamed of having. We've got to be merciful. We've got to be patient. We've got to understand that the Holy Ghost, he makes us fit together even when we would naturally never fit together. Amen. And so when there's people within the local church, I literally have had people tell me before, oh, so-and-so's in our church, you know, I'll never talk to them. Then you've got to, oh yeah, people, you're looking shocked at me. I have people tell me that. And actually, that is that was told to me just recently. Oh, I just won't talk to them. I won't have anything to do with them. Then you've got such a divisive spirit. You have a lack of mercy. You have a lack of patience and godliness. And all of a sudden, you start to come into the house of God with that spirit. It's not going to make your life better. It's going to make your life worse. You better forgive. You better forget. You better look past those things with the mercy of God, because God's looking past a lot of things for you and I. Oh my goodness, folks, the people next to you, they need your mercy. Yes. Guess what? You're going to need their mercy. That's right. That's your life isn't always going to go according to script, you know. Amen. Have you learned that yet? Yes. We don't need someone, you know, blaming others and people getting divided. You know, I've had people tell me like, oh, I ran into so-and-so, you know, at the store. They wouldn't even say hello to me. I saw them at such and such event and they wouldn't even look at me. They wouldn't even say hi. There may be people that were once instrumental to your life that are in this church, and something happened where the relationship is now hurt or whatever. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Divisiveness. He says, first of all, things are going to become worse in your life because when you come together in the church, there's a divisive spirit among you. Wow, there's a divisive spirit. Folks, you have to know and understand that we are living in an unprecedented time of an attack of offense unlike ever before. Boy, I wasn't even planning on sharing this. This keeps coming up in my spirit. Who's gonna make it? Who's gonna survive this attack? Who's gonna make it? Who's gonna survive this attack? You know, I've talked to my pastor. I've talked to ministers that travel to dozens and dozens of churches. It's across the board. It's the body of Christ. Satan is attacking the body of Christ to sift and to shake down the body of Christ. Just like when Jesus said over there in Luke 22, he said to Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. Wheat is shaken. It's shaken down until the wheat kernels fall off the stem, right? In the same way, there is a sifting. And honestly, in 18 years of pastoring, I have never seen anything like it. People feeling like they've been looked over for ministry appointments. People feeling like they're neglected. People just getting mad. People that have received miracles in the house of God, only to all of a sudden, when their life is so good, all of a sudden they say, you know what? I don't know if I believe in the vision of this church. You don't believe in the vision of this church that has preached the gospel without compromise? You know, we don't believe, you know, and all of a sudden people that have reached out and helped us and stood with us in the toughest time of our lives, I'll tell you what, we better be careful how the devil is going to attack our minds and try to get us offended. Well, they didn't pick me for that. The pastor didn't allow me to do this. I didn't get my way. Be careful. You can find yourself, you know, when you get together in the house of God, it can start to, you know, crush your life. And I'm going to show you. And see, pastor, just serve communion. Can't we just make it this happy? Pastor, can't we just serve this happy little religious ritual and I'll just believe it'll fix everything in my life? Folks, you need to know what communion's about. And folks, if something in the Bible says, listen, if you're doing this, it's going to hurt you. Guess what? It's my job to make sure that you're not being hurt. Amen. You know, don't be that divisive spirit. Don't be that person that can just never be satisfied. Never be content. What's going on? You know, I just don't like them. I don't like what they do. Oh, I don't like how they ran their nursery. Oh, I can't stand the music. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. Folks, what happens is, you know, we think in our lives that, you know, we need to go out and change relationships, change our church, change the people that we surround ourselves. But what we need, if we're that person, we need to change in our heart. Amen. We need to change in our heart. Amen. Oh, there's that phrase again. Who's gonna make it? Who's gonna make it? Who's gonna make it? I've decided I'm gonna get to the other side. Amen. Verse 19. For there must be also heresies or factions among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So God's saying, we're gonna see who rises above that division. Who's gonna rise above it? Amen. I've decided in my heart, God is always more than enough. I've decided in my mind that God is always more than enough. I've decided in my heart that no matter what people say or do, I'm gonna just keep on loving them. I'm gonna keep on desiring the best for them. Amen. I tell you what, in these last days, I'm not separating myself from spiritual leadership. I'm not getting upset if I've been looked over for something. Amen. God doesn't owe me anything. So many Christians, they live this life like God owes them something. Listen, if you're living this life believing you deserve better than what God has given you, I tell you what, you're discontent. And that discontentment's gonna ruin your life. Always complaining. Folks, we never understood just exactly, and we warned it about it around here. You know where a lot of this attack started? It started during COVID. It started during COVID, and of course, and then it got into the political realm. People, Christians, were divided about vaccine or not. People were raging about political things. And all of a sudden, that spirit of offense started working its way through the body of Christ. There are Christians that are just way, way, way too politically concerned. I tell you what, if you spent half the time calling upon heaven in the name of Jesus and you did worrying about what the president's up to today, heaven and earth would collide by now. Listen, you should be more concerned. I am not worried about what the president's up to today. You say, well, pastor, that means you agree with him. No, I don't. Not at all. I'm not concerned about what the devil's up to today. I'm concerned with what God is up to today. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, for there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved. Just know this, when a shaking and when a sifting comes to the body of Christ, what it's ultimately going to do is it is going, the best are gonna rise to the top. It's unfortunate that sometimes the body of Christ has to be shaken down so hard. But I don't know about you, but when that shaking is over, I wanna be still standing, amen. I've decided, amen. I'm not offended with God. I'm not offended with man. We're to walk in love. Owe no man anything except to love him. I don't care who said what about me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is what you say. What does this have to do with communion? You wait and see. You wait and see. Verse 19, he says, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest or rise to the top among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He's saying, you guys were getting together for these meals. He said, and the way you conduct yourself, he's like, that is not how the Lord instituted communion. So now he's correcting them. He says, for when you come together, you are not doing things according to God. You're actually making things worse. Verse 21, he says, for in eating, every one of you takes before other his own supper or the food, and one is hungry, meaning one goes without, and another is drunken. Boy, you think there was chaos in today's church. I mean, I'll tell you what, you can go and see that there was always drama in the church, even, you know, way back, you know, in the old days in the Corinthians. He says, in eating, everyone takes before his own self. Meaning, in the Corinthian church, they were rushing just to get ahead of everybody else, take communion first, and they were not waiting one for another. Folks, this is why, you know, you might be wondering why when we take communion, and no doubt you've seen this in other churches as well, that when we take communion, everybody is served. Everybody waits for one another. We all break that bread together. We eat at the same time. We eat the same amount, and we drink the cup all together, waiting until everybody is served. Because that is how the Bible tells us to do it, because it represents something sacred to God. Yes. It represents that we are all waiting for one another. It represents that I have a heart not to put myself in front of you. I'm not in a rush to just get things done so I can just get away from you or separate myself from you. When we come to the Lord's table, we all wait. Because that is a symbol of saying, Lord, I love my church family. No one in here is better than me. No one in here is less than me. Father, I love them with the love that you have loved me. I am going to commit myself to your body. See, we don't understand that the Lord's body is sitting right here with us here today. All right. And how we treat the Lord's body. If you're gossiping and talking behind, you know, someone's back, oh, do you see what they did? Did you hear what their kid did? Did you see them? Do you see what they drive? How'd they afford that? All this stuff. If you have that kind of spirit, I'm here to tell you that the devil in these last days are going to he's going to eat that up. He's going to crush believers who get divisive. Are you here today? Yeah. Say, Pastor, can we just go to the picnic now? Folks, picnic day doesn't mean that we don't hear a convicting message, right? It's just easier to hear a convicting message wearing shorts and a t-shirt, right? Praise the Lord. Why do you think I saved this for picnic day? Because afterwards, I'm going to get my shorts and my t-shirt, I'm going to come on out, and we'll just smooth it all over, right? But don't forget this. Folks, there's a grace of God in this place right now. You know, we're standing under heaven, so to speak. Let's honor it. Let's receive it. Let's not be divisive. Let's not get offended. Let's not blame others and look at people and start, you know, pushing them away in your local church. It's going to hurt your life. He says, because in the Corinthian church, they were just all about themselves. Yeah, just let me get in front of you. Folks, that can happen in a church. Where people are actually attending here because they just want to take something out of it. Oh, I'll go there as long as, you know, God increases my finances. Oh, I'll go there as long as I get my healing when I want it, how I want it. I'll step in front of everybody. You know, I'll make sure that I'm first. Just as long as I get mine. I mean, granted, I might receive a miracle, but I sure don't want to serve in the ministry of helps. Wow. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So do you see that heart that was in Corinth? He said, we're getting together with an attitude of putting yourself first. And now it's making your life worse. Watch what was happening in Corinth. Verse 22, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? He says, I commend you not. He said, if you make church a place of selfishness, it's gonna hurt your life. Folks, church is where selfishness comes to die. Amen. What are you doing to serve one another here? Amen. Glory to God. Those people that are signed up and they come in and they clean the church when you and I aren't here, they're serving us. Those ladies in the nursery right now, they're serving these families. These people in our audio video, in the parking lot, the ushers, the music team, and no doubt departments. Think about youth group. They're serving those families. Amen. Glory to God. Putting somebody else first. Now, verse 23, are you ready for communion here? Yes. We're going to get ready to serve communion here in just a few moments. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had eaten, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What does it mean to drink the cup unworthily? It means to just put yourself first. You know, if you've been a person of division, and I'm not saying we've had some huge problem or anything, you know, it's not like it's been some big deal. It's just, you know, a general attack that's coming out upon the body of Christ. But if you've been somebody that you've been at odds with somebody, you've been disgruntled with somebody, you've been offended in your life, I tell you what, before we serve communion, we always have a few moments to examine our heart. Take that time, get that right with the Lord, seek that forgiveness, right, before drinking the blood of the New Testament, the cup, and before taking that bread, right? Amen. Amen. Now in verse 28, he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, like the Corinthians were doing, he that is, you know, is this here in church just to be put first? You know, the person that feels overlooked in their life, they feel that way because they want to be first. You know, if somebody is offended at what somebody did to them or something, they're thinking of themselves first. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Folks, the Lord's body has two meanings. One, the physical body of Jesus that was on the cross. But then the second meaning of the Lord's body is what? Who is the Lord's body? We are. The Corinthian church was not discerning how important and sacred it was to be part of a church family, and they were just putting themselves first. They were divisive, they were offended, they wanted just to be ministered to themselves, they didn't want to serve anybody else. Are you here today? He said, if you have that heart of just putting yourself first, he said, you'll actually bring condemnation to yourself, because you don't discern that these people next to you are the Lord's body. Yes. To discern means that you see and understand with the spiritual eye of faith. Yes. Do you see and understand how sacred it is to be in the local church? Yes. And yet today in our society, we treat the local church like we treat a fast food restaurant. Oh, I'll take it. I'll leave it. I'll come. I'll go. I'll serve. I'll quit, I'll rejoin, I'll get ticked if I get overlooked. I'll point out what that person did wrong. I'll compare myself to them. I'll look at their kids. I'll look at the money they make. Hello? Say, Pastor, are you just trying to discipline this church? I would preach this anywhere. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, aren't things good around here? Yeah, things are good. But I'm here to tell you there is an attack against the body of Christ. And when I say this, I don't just say this to this church. Of course, I've said it also in our Erie church, but I'm saying it just in general in the body of Christ. Who's going to make it? Who's going to make it? Who's going to be making it? Oh, boy, I wasn't going to say this. I had no intentions to, but I'm being prompted to share it. It was very interesting. It was a Sunday morning several years back. It was actually in 2016. I think it was in July of 2016. And it was a service, just a normal Sunday service. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me and I started to prophesy about future things concerning this church. And it was by the Spirit of God. It's not something that you can turn on and turn off. And remember that some of you, were here back then and may even, remember this to a degree. But I'll just paraphrase it for you. That all of a sudden I was in church and all of a sudden I saw this bridge. And I saw this bridge with people walking across it, and the people that were walking across it were people in this church. And underneath that bridge, there was a tumultuous river, just, rapids, very violent, dangerous waters. And say, Pastor, are you saying you saw a bridge over troubled water? Yes. That's what I said. I was even singing the song in the vision. No, I wasn't. But I saw this bridge, and I saw people in this church going across it. But I also saw several in our church that were swept up into the tumultuous river. And I always wondered, Lord, why did I see that? Did I share that? And someone even told me that I may have had that printed out back then for people to take it and to read it and things like that. Well, someone reminded me of that just the other day, and I hadn't thought about it at all. And I was reading it, and I realized that the time that was being prophesied about is right now. It is right now. That there are people that are walking over that bridge. There's people that are going to be spared, but then there's people that are going to fall under this attack of offense. They're going to get disgruntled. People all over the place are going to, start to get offended at church leadership and things. And they're going to be swept up. And it's not because it's family church. It's not because, I'm, somebody special or I'm trying to be on a pedestal. But folks, you need to know and understand what's taking place in the body of Christ today is extraordinarily serious. And I understand that we have a church filled with young families. People have kids from infant all the way up through teenager. And there's a lot of pressure. Combine that with what's going on in society and things are expensive and all the things that, are just taking place. I understand all the pressure that, people are going through. But folks, at the end of the day, we come back to what we know in the Word of God. We come back to what we know in the Word of God. Folks, you are going to need to keep God first in your life. You're going to need to decide, that in these days, maybe you're just visiting and you have a home church somewhere else. Maybe you're just in town with family or whatever. If you've got a home church there, I'm telling you, you need to decide that you're not going to be divisive in it. You're not going to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. The Bible says that when we're 1 foot in, 1 foot out, I tell you what, if you're 1 foot out, you're all the way out. God does not have a 1 foot in, 1 foot out paradigm. It's all or nothing with God. And people get mad. They say, you're just trying to make people your subjects here. No, I'm not. I'm here to be faithful to the Word of God. Glory to God. See, they bring damnation to themselves. What? Not discerning the Lord's body. That gossip that you spread around, that hurts the Lord's body. That offense because you got overlooked with something, guess what? That brings pain and hurt to the Lord's body. Look what happens, verse 30. And I understand this is something that so many, churches will not say today. They will not teach this. But folks, because I love you, I've got to share this. If you believe the Bible, we've got to take this seriously. For this cause, everyone say, for this cause.
For this cause.
For what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, Many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That word sleep means to die prematurely. Think about it. We're under this grace and this umbrella of God's goodness. You know, that God says, I want to make your life better. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. But when we don't discern the Lord's body in our midst, look what it does. Remember, he says, when you get together, he says, it's not always for the better. It can actually cause something worse. And here's the worst part. For this cause, when we don't discern the Lord's body, many get weak. I mean, literally in life. They get sick in their body, and it can even cause premature death. Wow, that's what the scripture says. So that is a big warning to the church at Corinth. He says, because the way you act in the house of God, because of the way you approach the house of God, it's actually putting your life at risk. But I want to teach you the other side of this, because if by mishandling the house of God, if that makes us weak, sick, and die early, what if you do handle it properly? What if you are honorable in the house of the Lord? We could say this, it'll make you strong, healthy, and live long. How many of you believe that God has a strong, healthy, long life for you? Amen, I believe it. And that's why we say this, the local church is a house of healing and health. The local church is a house of bodily and mental strength. Amen. The local church is a house of long life, or what the Bible says, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. Folks, how many of you want to flourish in God's house? Folks, I want you to flourish. God wants you to flourish, but we're going to have to start with the things that are sacred to him. And you know what's sacred to God? You are. Amen. You are. The Lord's body is sacred to him. Folks, I am going to treat you as the sacred part of the Lord's body. Will you walk in here and treat one another like a sacred part of the Lord's body? Instead of, I'm offended, look at them, I'm gonna shoot them the hairy eyeball. I'm gonna send them the dagger eye. That person out there, they got my favorite parking spot. They're sitting in my seat. They're sitting there. Look at them. I saw them. Oh, they didn't say hi to me. They weren't nice enough to me, so I'm going to give them the dagger eyes. I'm going to shoot them with laser beams out of my eyeballs. For this cause, it produces weakness, sickness, and premature death. Verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, stop judging others. Judge ourselves. What is communion about? We take that opportunity to judge ourselves, to examine our own hearts. You know, people will act like somebody in life is the one holding them back, holding them down. Over the years, I've had a lot of people accuse me of that. You're holding me back. You're holding me down. No, I kept you back from getting hurt because you were about to step into something that was going to eat your life, and I stopped you. For if you would judge yourselves, ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wow. Boy, we could really, really, really crack open a case here theologically, but we won't. But isn't it interesting? When you mishandle the Lord's house, it isn't that God ceases to be a healer. It isn't God desiring to make anybody sick, but what he does when we hurt his body, he just pulls his grace and his blessing, and then judgment comes upon us. And God allows that actually in his mercy, because if we stay on that same course, we're gonna get hurt even eternally. Anyway, that's a deeper conversation for another day. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, this is talking about the Lord's Supper, wait one for another. Isn't that what we're going to do today? Yeah. Folks, when you take those elements, you remember that bread is the body. It doesn't just represent the body that was broken for you on the cross. It represents those that are among you, that are willing to serve you, those that are willing to be merciful to you, those that have stood with you in your darkest hour. Amen. Glory to God. He said, wait one for another. And remember that you are never here to put yourself in front of anybody. Amen. Amen. Are you getting something out of this? It says, if any man hunger, if he's just coming there to get something to eat, let him eat at home. The Lord's Supper is not about the food, all right? You know, it's not about just filling your belly. It's about making a heart decision before God. Folks, when I take these elements today, I am committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I take that in remembrance of him, and I take it in remembrance of his body. And when I think of his body, I think of all of you. For 18 years, I've been committed to you, and I will be committed to you as long as the Lord tarries. Amen and amen. I'll be faithful to you. Folks, so what we're going to do, ushers, if you want to go ahead and start getting the elements prepared, let me give you some basic instructions. What we're going to do, the Reverend Tony is going to come with a team here, and we are going to get ready to serve communion. Folks, you know, we got quite a few people here today. So what we do is that we are going to set up four stations, just like we've done in the past. There's going to be two stations up front where you can receive the bread and the cup, and then there will be two stations in the back in each of the corners. What's going to happen is a couple of ushers are going to come and stand in the aisles in the middle of the sanctuary. And if you are lined up with the ushers and then forward or in front of them, you will come up to whatever side you're on to the station that is in the front. If you are behind the ushers, you will then go and serve yourself at the stations in the back. What we're going to do is I'm going to give specific instructions of what sections will go. When I call your section, of course, whatever end that you're on, you can go and be served, all right? We will use alternating sections so we don't create a bottleneck or a traffic jam. And what we will do, we will wait until everybody is served. I will then give thanks and pray over the elements. Folks, remember, to receive communion, we must be born again. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to give that invitation here in a moment. But we want to make sure that we are honorable, that we're waiting for one another, and that we understand the significance of communion. Now, remember, even if you're not a part of our church per se, but you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you can receive communion. Can we all go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes? Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to receive communion today. And Father, we understand that in your word, the only criteria that there is to receive is to be born again. Father, you sent your son to this earth 2,000 years ago to bear the punishment that we deserve. Lord Jesus, we believe that your body was broken and beaten. We believe that you were nailed to that cross and that you bore the punishment for every sin that was ever committed, for our sin. Even though you had never committed any sin, you took the punishment that we deserved. Your blood was shed. You died upon that cross. Then the Bible says that you descended into hell and paid for our debt there as well. And then 3 days later, you rose again. And Father, we thank you for this great hope and salvation that is only in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through you. And now with eyes closed and heads bowed, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never personally committed my life to Jesus, and today I want to be saved. I want to have my sins washed. I want to have a relationship with God the Father. If that's you, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm the one looking around. If that's you, and you want to know that you have eternal life, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I will lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. You can pray right along with us. But if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're uncertain in any way about your eternal destiny, whether you'd be in heaven or hell? Well, the truth is, hell is real, but the good news is, heaven is too. And God sent Jesus to take our punishment so that we would never end up in hell. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? And today's the day you want to do that. Could you lift your hand just real quick? As soon as I see it, I'll have you put it right back down. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come down front. I'm not going to point you out. Is there anybody before we receive communion that you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I see that hand. God loves you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, we did have a hand. And so I'm going to lead us all in this prayer. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your heart. Don't just think them in your mind. God will hear you. We're all going to be praying with you. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer. Speak these words out of your heart to God. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it wonderful to see people coming to the Lord? Glory to God. And so even if you just received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can take communion here today. Absolutely. Whether you've been saved for 10 seconds or 100 years, I'll tell you what, you can receive. Amen. And so at this time, ushers, if you want to take the place in the aisles, glory to God. Pastor Brad and Reverend Justin are going to kind of just stand up. Now, if you're lined up even with the ushers all the way in front, then you'll come up front to the station on your side. If you're behind the ushers, then you'll use the stations in the back. Praise the Lord. We're going to call out groups. And of course, Reverend Tony and the team are going to be worshiping. Use this time. If you need to talk to God, if you need to examine your heart, if you need to get some things right with him, let's do it now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at this time, I'm going to call this section right here. And if you want to go ahead and line up and start coming to this station up front or that station in the back, and then we'll use this far section right here if you want to go ahead and stand up and get ready to be served. Reverend Tony, if you please.
Defender, suffered and crucified. eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name.
I know we have those that are being served in our audio visual department. Is there anybody in the sanctuary that has not been served but would like to be? We want to make sure not to miss you. Is there anybody that you have not been served but we want to get to you? All right, we have one over here. Praise the Lord. Lord of God, brother-in-law is going to go take care of him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Audio visual, have you all been served? Worship team, everybody's being served there. Just give it another moment. Of course, we also serve communion, you know, privately to any of those that are serving in our children's ministries. I make sure to do that after service, so it'll take me just a few moments to get up to the water baptism. Praise the Lord. Make sure all the ushers are ready. Praise you, Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's give thanks for the elements and bless them. Dear Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the sacredness of what communion represents. Father, we know that this bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. That body that hung on the cross, that body that was beaten beforehand. That body that was buried and rose again. But Father, we also know that Christ's body is the church. And Lord, we see all across our nation, the church is under attack. And Lord, we know that by the word of God, we can stay strong. Father, we can live healthy and long lives. Father, we can fulfill all the will of God in this earth. And Lord, we take the example of the Corinthians and we see what the apostle wrote to them. And he corrected them. And Father, if we've needed this time to correct ourselves, then we're happy to do it. Father, we thank you for this cup, which is the blood of the New Testament, the blood of Jesus, that only that blood and that blood alone washes us and cleanses us from our sins. Thank you, Father, for this bread. Thank you for this cup. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, we will never be able to be grateful enough for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. And Father, we just say that this blood is blessed. We say that this blood, this cup, this that represents the blood of Christ is blessed to our bodies. Father, we thank you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." In the same manner, after he had eaten, he took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the New Testament. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. Father God, we just praise you today. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Father, we know that the church is not just an institution that has a building and has bills to pay. The church is not a business. The church is a sacred gathering. It is a body of believers that worship together. Father, we worship you together and we serve one another in your name. We love one another. For Father, you said, Lord, you said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Thank you, Father. Today, as we receive these elements, Father, we are in remembrance for what Jesus has done for us. And we also take in remembrance what we should do to serve others in our church family. Father, you are faithful and good. You are faithful and good. Father, we're gonna live strong. Father, we're gonna live healthy. We're gonna live long in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just give you all the praise. All the glory. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. What we're going to do as we're dismissed, folks, just a reminder, if you're being water baptized, head right on up to the youth center. If you need to change, please do so quickly. I'm gonna serve communion to those leaders and helpers that were watching our kids, and then I will be right up there. If you aren't gonna attend the water baptism and you wanna head on over to the picnic grounds, you can do that. As soon as we get back from water baptism, we're gonna pray for the food, we're gonna start lining folks up, and then you can get your kids in that bounce house and obstacle course. I am officially retired from the obstacle course, all right? Officially retired, so no challenges. You know, I know, no challenges. The glory days have come and gone. Praise the Lord. Father God, we just bless you today. We glorify you today. Father, we thank you that our time is blessed together in this picnic. Thank you, Lord, for what will happen as we see so many get water baptized. Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted.